Good morning. God is good. And all the time. Welcome to St. John's United Church of Christ as we gather for worship this morning on this wintry day. It is the last Sunday of Epiphany or Transfiguration Sunday, and you'll see that when we do the scripture lessons later. If you have the registers come to your pew, please sign that so we can welcome you if you are a guest. We do have flowers today, special ones here, in celebration of Kelly Taylor's birthday that's on the 19th, and the flowers on the baptismal font over here are in celebration of Kelsey Taylor's birthday on the 20th. Happy birthday to both, and you'll say it's with love from your family, mom, grandma, dad, grandpa. Depends on which set of flowers you're looking at, depends on how those titles go. Scott, Dad, and Kyle, and Elise. So thank you for those. We appreciate that very much. This is the last Sunday of Epiphany. I said that means that this Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, and we have services at 12 and at 7. And we are going to do communion and ashes at both services. The only difference will be the choir will be present at the evening service. So however your schedule works, to come and share with us in that day. Also, this is the last day for the prayer partner list. There's a sign-up sheet at both doors. If you sign up, we'll have those ready to give you on next Sunday to pray during the season of Lent. And then on Easter Sunday, we'll have a list revealing who was praying for you. The Lent discussion group starts this coming Saturday. There is still a sign-up sheet and some booklets there. If you need to pick one up and you don't have one yet, please do that. And we appreciate you showing up. And before we end, any other announcements before I turn Kyle loose? Okay, Kyle.
So as everybody knows, we had our annual Super Bowl event last Sunday, and as part of that annual tradition, we do have you guess who you think is going to win the Super Bowl last night. So if you stayed up for the whole thing last week, you do know that the Seattle Seahawks were the winners for this year's Super Bowl. So everyone who selected the Seattle Seahawks is put into this basket here, and Marty is going to select who is our winner for our $15 Kroger gift card.
You stapled them all shut.
That was our office administrator, and make it even because that way they don't stick together. So,
and I can't see them.
Yes. So it really is a blind drawing. Nobody can claim we have a bias or rigged it.
Chuck Hawkins, and he's up here by
the... Oh, perfect. Our liturgist for today.
There you are, Chuck.
Thank you. Perfect. Congratulations, Chuck. And that is all I have for today. So thank you, guys.
Mike, you're just jealous because he didn't have to walk very far. My knees, his hip. We have to make this work. That's how that goes. Thanks, Kyle. All right, let's settle ourselves down as we prepare to worship God this morning. Allow the Spirit to move among us so that we can feel God's presence today. Let us worship God. Thank you.
Good morning. Please stand if you are able and join me in the call to worship. God calls us, come to me on the mountains, in the forest, on the trail. Come to me across the ocean, across the river, across the street. Come to me at the kitchen table, in the grocery store, on the web. Come to me under the overpass, in the shelter, on the soup line. God invites us, come, be with me, share the day with me. God invites us, share the week, the year, your whole life with me. Let us accept God's invitation. We come in answer and response. Let us worship our God together. Please join me in the prayer of adoration and confession. Glorious God, as you transfigured Jesus, making his face shine like the sun and his clothes dazzling white, May we too be so changed that your glory shines radiantly in us. As those assembled heard your voice from the cloud, may we hear you speaking to us this day. Help us to listen and to hear your word, that we may know with fresh certainty that we are your beloved children, ones called to follow Jesus and to shed your light among the nations. Enduring God, we confess that as Jesus' disciples, we do not listen to him as you commanded. We look for a way through life other than the cross of suffering, a way other than that of the laying aside of self-will in obedience to your will and your purpose for our lives. When suffering, fear, loss, and sorrow come to us, we fail to remember how Jesus came from the mountain to move toward Jerusalem and toward what lay ahead for him, that he might with us through our darkness toward resurrection and new life to come. Forgive us, we pray, for keeping so occupied in busyness that we neglect times of waiting upon you, of communing with you, times in which you would revive our dimmed spirits, strengthen our hearts, bring peace to our minds, and inspire our service. Forgive our sin and transform us by your grace, we pray.
God loves us, not because of what we have done or not done, but because we are God's beloved children. The cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ assures us that neither sin nor death can separate us from God's love. So as those who confess Jesus as Lord, we are counted as righteous with him. And the same glory of transformation and eternal life are ours. Thanks be to God. Dearly beloved, believe the good news. In Jesus Christ we are forgiven, now and forever. Amen.
The first scripture reading for today comes from that part of the Old Testament known as the Torah, the Pentateuch, the Law. Exodus chapter 24, verses 12 through 18. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there. I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up onto the mountain of God. To the elders he had said, "Wait here for us until we come back to you. Look, Aaron and Hur are here with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain in the sight of the Israelites. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. May God bless the reading and hearing of this, his word.
Ooh.
As we continue to hear God's word, we're going to continue to hear as we are this year in the Gospel of Matthew. Today's from the 17th chapter. It's the first 9 verses. And it's the story of what we call the Transfiguration. And so you have the disciples and Jesus going up the mountain, and Jesus is transfigured or changed, and they see Moses and Elijah with Jesus, and they hear this voice from heaven when God speaks again. So the disciples hear this voice and were overcome with fear. So hear how Matthew tells us the story. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John, and he led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became bright as light. And suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And then Peter says to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will set up 3 tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And while he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome with fear. But Jesus came and he touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they raised their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." May God bless this reading, hearing, and understanding of the Holy Word. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. The special effects in this story are almost cinematic in a way. We have this mountaintop venue, the appearance of Moses and Elijah. We have God's voice speaking out of the cloud to Jesus shining like the sun. And if we look at all that, which we tend to focus, we easily overlook the seemingly meaningless words that begin the text. 6 days later. What if we stopped there and paid attention? What if we didn't read right past them and ignore them, as we probably usually do? What if we didn't run and rush quite so fast to the good stuff of the story? What if we stopped reading the passage as a biographical note about Jesus? We need to remember Jesus had been traveling and preaching and teaching. And chapter 16 ends on discipleship, and then we go to this chapter, and the first 3 words are 6 days later. So I'd like to suggest today, as we look at that 6 days later, that it matters why that's there. And I'd like to suggest that the writer of the gospel is deliberately reminding us of another story from Scripture, the one that Chuck read from Exodus. The journey of Moses and Joshua, they went up into the mountain where they sat in a cloud for probably what seemed like eternity. It was 6 days later, on the 7th day, that God called Moses out of the cloud to meet Jesus, or God, face to face. It was 6 days later, on the 7th day, that Jesus takes Peter, James, and John to the mountaintop, where they see Moses and Elijah. It was the 7th day, the Sabbath day of rest, that God declared not just very good, but he declared it holy. In our world today and in our society, Jim and I had a conversation last Sunday. We don't take the 7th day very seriously. Isn't that what we talked about? Yeah, he's nodding his head. You can't hear his rocks move up there, but he's agreeing. We don't take it as seriously as we should. I remember when I was doing a youth group when I was a student pastor on the east side of Cincinnati, and we did a Bible study on the Ten Commandments. And the question of the booklet I was using that year was to ask the kids, if you had to remove what commandment, if you only had 9, not 10, which one would you remove? And the vote was almost unanimous to eliminate the third. Now remember, this is 40 years ago. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy is the third commandment. And it wasn't overwhelming, but the reasoning behind the vote, I'm going to paraphrase because I don't really remember, but this is the gist. God surely understands that we are very busy people, and to get ahead, we need to work 7 days a week. That was their attitude. And even if God agrees with that, I'm going to hazard that God doesn't agree, understands, but doesn't agree. We may think we're busier than those folks from 1200 BCE, Exodus folks who crossed the wilderness with Moses, or the first century disciples that we read about all the time. I don't think any of us can affirm with a straight face, though, that we are busier than God. And He created the universe. If God didn't work 7 days, stick with my argument. If God didn't work for 7 days, then I humbly submit we should not either. Especially in light of what God tells us that we should be about. The 6 days later tells us that both of these encounters with God happens on a day that God blesses and hallows. That's that seventh day. So I have to think, was that literally a Saturday because of the Jewish understanding of Sabbath for both Moses and himself? But the point is, I don't want to argue the day of the week, but when I argue about it, there was a cyclical schedule, a religious schedule that they followed. And so on the seventh day, whenever day that was followed, what day of the week it followed, that was your holy day. A day of rest, to be renewed, to be recreated, to be restored. It was that day. Sabbath day is the day that we try to rearrange the world. We stop trying to rearrange the world to our way of thinking, or the world trying to think us, make us think in a way. It's a time when we stop and slow down and take a beat and expect God to be here and to touch us in a very special way. And so if we're truly honoring the Sabbath, then we need to be present in this moment when we're here. Now, if you're going to wait for me to try to explain what this means for the Transfiguration story, my answer is everything. I don't think the story was particularly written to tell us one more spectacular thing that happened to Jesus or to give the disciples the courage to continue. That's our interpretation as a norm. I don't think it's a misplaced post-resurrection appearance, which I've discussed with my colleagues. It is another sign and wonder that we see what happens to Jesus, but the important aspect of the story is not what happened to Jesus. The important aspect of this story is what happens to us when we hear it and understand it. It isn't Jesus who needs to be transfigured for the kingdom of God to be revealed. It's us that need to be transformed so that we then see the kingdom of God. And I don't think it's going to happen when we get caught up in everything that's in the world that's going on, no matter what that is. And the story is, and we're all raised that way, I was raised that way, for success and worthiness and who I am and where's my place in the world. And even though that's important in some aspects and ways, I need to think about it. It's not about working in a law firm and working up to be a partner, or worrying about whether I'm going to get packed You know, my stepson and I are thinking about going out to see my great-granddaughter graduate from high school in May and pack up all the sewing machines that my wife willed to my granddaughter. Going to fill the back of an SUV, by the way. It's a lot of stuff. So we're planning on that, and that's, you know. But what do we do outside of all those busyness times that we do to fill our time and our space? And for me, you know, sometimes my Sabbath isn't today, by the way. This is my work day. My Sabbath day is the day that I don't have to go out and I don't need to do lunch with somebody. And my neighbor next door, he's a type A, and I didn't pull the weeds out of my garden fast enough, so he did it. He's that kind of guy. He's generous with his time. He plows my driveway when it snows. But he says, Marty, he says, my wife, Julie, she just stays in the house all day, just putting around the house. How can you do that? I said, I do that. He says, what do you mean? I says, because he was so frustrated with the snow when we had that weekend with the snow. He says, what did you do? I says, I made 3 pots of soup. I made my chili stuff I make. I did some Cajun food. I cooked, jarred it all up, froze it. I got food to eat now. You didn't need to go out? You didn't want to go out? I said, no. That was my Sabbath. I got 2 days in a row. So this text is challenges us to think about when our Sabbath is. And in those moments, it wasn't that I wasn't thinking about the world or I wasn't wondering what was going on. I didn't turn a TV on a lot or a radio or anything. I didn't have any. I like silence. But there's still, I know that there are people in the world that are hungry. I know that there are brothers and sisters who are bleeding from shrapnel. I know there's violence and terror. I know that there's people who are suffering with diseases. I know all of that's going on, and there's a lot more that happens in the world. And I pray for all of that. But I don't think about those things when I'm focused on planning a worship service or dealing with one of you in a discussion or having a beer with my friends at my local haunt. That's not when my mind is in that place. So Sabbath allows me to think about those things in the context of God. And I can't do that when I'm messing with the soup or I'm cooking at home or I'm hoping to cut the grass on my tractor. When I'm doing something else, my mind doesn't go there. It only goes there when I'm at Sabbath for me, when it's my time to be with God. So what I think this story does, what it's taking is, you and I function in these little boxes where we're comfortable and we found a way to live. And sometimes that one wall gets broken and you're put in a spot where you're not comfortable. And then we have to think about that. And that's what transformation is, you know? That's what happens when God comes into our lives. We change a little bit. We have to change. I feel that every time we encounter God, we are changed some way. Sometimes large, sometimes very small. But I think God created the world. And I sometimes think, when I'm thinking in those moments of Sabbath, I forget that you and I are creation as well. And when I think about the creation story and when human beings are created, God breathes breath into them. So part of when I ask you to do that when we settle for prayer, that is sort of a reminder that God has allowed us to breathe and we breathe in God. I usually say breathe in God. And I do that because that's my way of trying to remind myself why we're here. So I'm hoping that as we continue, we're going to move into the season of Lent on Wednesday. And that as we journey through those 40 days of Lent, that this might be the time that we take time other than Sunday morning at Sabbath to pause and to think. Keep the Sabbath. Remember all our brothers and sisters throughout the world. And also to remember each one of us. May God bless us as we enter into the Lenten season. May God allow us to have that moment of Sabbath that we need every week. Amen. Our affirmation of faith today comes from a document that was called That All May Worship, and it was written to be more inclusive when our denomination was looking to do to be more handicapped accessible, like the pews that we have here and other things, the elevator and those kinds of things. So I'm going to ask those who are able to please stand and let us affirm our faith together using those words. Together we say, as God's creations, we are fashioned uniquely, each endowed with individuality of body, mind, and spirit, to worship freely the one who has given us life. Each of us has abilities. Each seeks fulfillment and wholeness. Each of us has disabilities. Each knows isolation and incompleteness, seeking shelter from the vulnerability we all share, claiming our promised place in God's household of faith. We are transformed by invitation, affirmation, and love. In grateful response, we worship and serve God, the source of hope and joy. Celebrate and serve one another, rejoicing in our diversity. Transform and serve the world until we become a community which reflects God's oneness and peace. Let the house of God be open to all who enter and worship. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to God in prayer this day, are there joys and or concerns to be shared with this community of faith this morning? Last week we prayed for Joy's father, Ted Wallace. He died this weekend, so we pray for the family. When we find the arrangements out, you'll let us know. Okay. Continue to be with them as well. Those of us, we've all suffered. So for me, my stepdaughter, Sheila, she's in hospice care in Alabama. Her husband Don posted on Facebook, the time is close and near, and he was just sort of updating people because not everybody was aware of her health failing as fast as it is. So we all deal with some sense of loss. And she had, I don't know if you remember when they did attend, they do have an apartment down in Bellevue on the river when they come and visit, when they're here in town. And they would come to church. She has a, help me, Vicki, what kind of dog is it?
Therapy dog.
Therapy dog, thank you. And so they've allowed her to bring, or Don to bring the dog in and climb up on the bed with her. So, and the dog knows, you know. So we have all as we go through that. The good news is Elise Stamm, Diane and Dave's granddaughter, is recovering well with her shoulder surgery, so that's a joy. Remember Janice Keeney is at St. E. Edgewood having some tests and physical therapy done, so we ask prayers for her as well. And as always, there are birthdays, which we talked about earlier today with the flowers. There are anniversaries. There are times when families get together. There are things that are happening throughout the world, some of which we support, some of which we don't. But we need to pray for anyone who is in that process of making decision so that some sense of order can come out of chaos. So let's continue to be in a spirit that allows God's presence to move among us. And so as we do that, let us center ourselves. I'm going to ask you to take a deep breath and then let it out. And then breathe in God. And then breathe it out. Breathe in. And breathe out. Breathe in. Breathe out. Almighty God, as we have gathered together this day, in this place, in this time of prayer and our service, we approach you with many feelings. You spoke through your servant Moses when you delivered the commandments. You spoke through your son Jesus that he came to preach the coming of the kingdom into the world. And then we were reminded that we are created by you. And so we come before you sometimes in awe and not fully understanding our presence in this world. We struggle for guidance and understanding our tasks in the midst of the decisions that we face. Sometimes it is us that feel that you are distant and we need the assurance of your presence. And so that is why Sabbath is so important. And so we take that time today to feel your presence, to know your strength, to feel your arms around us as we journey. We also declare our faith in the words that we say, and the hymns that we sing, and the music that we hear, that our faith is in your Son, Jesus the Christ, with whom you tell us today are well pleased. So allow us to hear those words, keep faithful to our faith. But as we journey, we know you have sent something to be with us, and that is the Holy Spirit. It guides us, and as we heard today, it can transform us, and it can change us. It can allow us to see the world in a different way. So may the decisions that we make as we journey through this world be in accordance to what you would want us to be and to do. May the care that we give to the tasks you have given to us reflect the care that you had when you made creation. This is just part of our journey of faith, O God, so as we continue in our journey, allow us not to be complacent, allow us not to feel weary, allow us to continue to share the good news with those who need to hear it, that it might give meaning to our time, meaning to our space, meaning to our relationships with others. We thank you that you're with us this day as we have taken time to stop, slow down, and to be in your presence. And so we offer this prayer, for the prayer that Jesus has taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Unless we plant and water, how will God give the growth? If we do not share, how will others be fed? If we hoard God's love, how can new life burst forth into the world? Surely we are instruments of God, co-workers who can make a difference in the world. One way is through proportionate giving of our substance and ourselves. The ushers may now come forward.
Please join with me in our prayer of dedication. As the transfigured Christ revealed a life offered for the sake of us all, receive our offerings for the sake of others. Transform, O God, money into the hope for justice, time into signs of service, talents into acts of ministry, and ourselves into expressions of faithfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I had you look at that text a little different, that we are the ones who are transformed, not Jesus. And it's the way that we look at the world in a different way, because we claim Jesus as Lord. So take the good news that you feel when you think about who Jesus is to you. Share that with others that they too may come to know your faith in which you are grounded. So until we meet again, let us go in the name of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Let us go in peace. Amen.